Hello, gay men. Welcome to Coming Inside Out. I'm your co-host, John.
I'm Brian. Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the fucking show.
Welcome to the fucking show. My goodness. Such a beautiful day out today.
It's Southern California. It is a beautiful day. It's been 100 and some degrees by my house, so it's nice that it looks like it's going to be in the 80s down here today.
Oh, it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be very hot for us. It's hot for me.
Yeah.
But you're like, what, 90? 100?
Oh, it's been well over 100. It was 107 or 8 the other day. It was just,
yeah.
Hot.
Wow, that's crazy. All right. Well, speaking of hot, we're going to give hot Palm Springs Pride. You're talking about hot.
Yes.
That's going to be October 31st through November 3rd. Again, that's a Thursday through a Sunday. And they're going to have all different events. I just found out they're going to have a big pool party over at the, what, the Hotel Riverside?
Oh, Riviera.
Riviera. Hotel Riverside. Motel. That's a motel. Motel Riverside.
It's true.
I'm going to go to that one. I'm going to go to the Motel Riverside. Oh, you guys are going to go to the Riviera.
No water in the pool.
Yes. And so, yeah, we got the Palm Springs Pride. And then what else do we have here in November or Movember?
We are going to promote Movember because in the month of November, men grow mustaches. I guess a woman could grow a mustache, too. But typically, it's a man growing a mustache. Have you seen the
TikToks? My mother grows a mustache.
Have you seen the TikToks where the guy goes up to his wife and says, "Oh, your hair looks so soft. Do you mind if I touch it?" And she's like, "Oh," she's all flat. And she's like, "Oh, thank you." And he goes and touches the underside of her lip.
Let me tell you the funniest line my mother ever said. Okay, this was in college. We were in college, and all my friends' parents came, and we just got through playing football, and we were all at the motel. And my mom would always bring me a half gallon of bourbon. And a case of beer. My mom and my stepdad, Big Huey, they would. And then my other friend's parents were in the room, and they were just all drinking and talking. And they were just talking about hair or whatever. And my mother said, she goes, "Well, you know, I don't get any more hair under my arms." And everyone's like, "Well, that's, you know," the ladies were like, "That's a good thing." She goes, "Not really, because it's starting to come under my nose here." Oh, it was hilarious because she lost her hair from under her arms, but it started showing up under her, above her lip. That's mom.
That happened to me. I lost the hair on my head and I got hair on my ears.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's that. But that happens. I mean, seriously. And I get some wild hairs on my ear.
Overnight.
It looks like, honestly, it looks like a 1950s antenna because it's jagged, that long hair. It looks like an old 50s TV antenna on the roof.
Overnight. Oh, my gosh. All right. So back to growing a mustache.
Yes.
I am going to shave this.
Okay. This meaning, if you're listening, he's going to shave his goatee. Yeah.
But for Palm Springs Pride, I kind of feel like I need this. So maybe I'm going to shave it and I'm going to start the growth back the weekend before.
I don't think you should. I think you should take this off now and let this thing grow to that 1970s, you know? Mm.
Well, anyways.
You do what you want.
Movember raises awareness for men's health issues such as prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and men's suicide. The Movember Foundation runs the month of November. It's a charity event housed at Movember.com. The goal of Movember is to change the face of men's health. Gay Fathers Worldwide has a fundraising link, which we've posted in our episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You can click on that to donate. Their goal is to raise $10,000. And if you go on one of our descriptions and click to donate, there's currencies for, I think, 4 countries on there. So
perfect.
Please click on there and donate.
Nice.
So John
has
nothing in front of him because I'm surprising him with this episode.
Okay. Another surprise.
Another surprise.
All right.
I think about a week ago, you shared something with me and I looked into it and it was so like heartwarming and moved me so much that I actually took notes. And I thought that you and I could kind of go over this and talk about it. And it's the movie Will and Heartburn.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix.
Yes.
Ferrell.
Yeah, that was such a great... I mentioned it a few episodes back.
It's supposed to go.
And it was just so brave of Will to do that.
I thought it was brave of Harper to do
it. Well, of course it was brave for Harper. But to bring in... for Will to initiate
yeah.
and reach out to Harper yes. to say, hey, let's go on this road trip. I want to be there for you to, yeah. you know, to help. I thought that and was awesome.
If you haven't watched the show, it's mm-hmm. about a gentleman by the name of Andrew Steele,
yeah.
who was a writer for Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
And he and Will have known each other for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out in an email to Will during COVID
yeah.
that he was transitioning to a woman.
Yeah.
But there's so much backstory to that. And a lot of what Harper said and experienced in the movie, Will and Harper, I felt really translates to us as closeted gay men. It's not just about a person transitioning their sex, but it so much of it applied to us as closeted men.
It's a journey. It's a journey that really I could identify with.
Yes, me too.
You know, and you know, I don't want to ever get in a debate, but, you know, what's tougher? What's tougher, coming out or coming out as a trans woman? It's all tough, you know, and I empathize with everyone going through that. But it is, you know, for me, being a gay man coming out and looking at Harper of coming out, but now as a trans woman, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah. And he's 61.
Yeah.
He's coming.
She's 61.
I apologize. Yes.
Yeah.
My son corrected me. She is 61 years old.
Yeah.
But in the movie, she talks about always doing all these cross country road trips. And even, you know, before COVID, this goes back 10, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. would do these cross country road trips in a dress.
Yeah. She would.
She would wear a dress, and the fear of highway patrol pulling her over, her getting in a car accident, something happening where he would
be at the time
wearing a woman's dress.
Right, because to be respectful, he was a he then.
Yes.
Doing the dress.
Yes. He's a father. He was married. I think he was already divorced.
But. Yeah.
He would do these cross-country road trips, and he would wear a dress.
Mm.
He actually bought a home in some part of California where he would go to, and his refuge was to go to this home and be kind of a recluse, but be able to dress in women's clothing.
Yeah.
So the women's clothing aspect does not resonate with me, but a lot of what he dealt with resonated with me. So I wrote down some stuff, and I kind of wanted to ask you some questions.
Sure.
Harper revealed that she had done cross-country trips wearing a dress prior to coming out as gay and expressing the fear of being pulled over or caught. What have you lived in fear of as a closeted gay man before you came out? Did you live in fear of anything when you were in the closet?
Yeah, I was being beaten.
Oh,
by my really? Yeah, by my because again, I didn't know. I know it's a little different, you know, and at that time, as a young child, my mother's boyfriend was the redneck, and he was a racist, and he was horrible, and. You know, I told you he got my mother a whip to whip us.
Yes.
And so I think just, you know, just being beaten.
All right.
You know,
if you were found out.
Yeah. Or killed or hung or, you know, death.
All right. For me, I wrote down, it's my mannerism. I always was worried that people were going to suspect I was gay, and so I didn't want to talk with my hands. I didn't want to talk too excited. I didn't want my voice, you know,
right.
to raise. So I was always so conscious of my mannerism.
Really?
Because I was afraid that that's was going to get me how I was.
Or outed. You thought that was going to get you outed.
Yes.
See, because you knew this. See, I
was suppressing.
I didn't know, but I was exploring or, you know, visually seeing men or other guys, and I would linger a little longer. I'm like, whoa, what's that? You know, so I played football. And look, the machoism and the jocular, you know, talk and everything was just always there with me and with all my friends, because it was just a macho thing. And so, but for you, wow, I didn't even think
that
of
was that. My mannerism. I was terrified that I was going to laugh too loud, that I was going to use my hands at my inflections, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was just very quiet, monotone.
Wow.
Yeah, that's okay. Kind of how I was. So, okay. So for Harper, Will asked, now that you've transitioned, are there new ground rules are there new ground rules with you now that you are out and living your truth with yourself, family, or others? Do you feel that there are new ground rules now that you've come out as gay?
Repeat that question.
Okay. Are there new ground rules with you now that you are out and living your truth?
No.
No? Okay. For me, I know I had a little more time to kind of go over some of the stuff. So I wrote, I can't participate in superficial relationships anymore. So I guess a new ground rule for me in coming out is that I don't want those relationships that are just meaningless and hot air. My ground rules are, if you're going to be my friend, you have to be my friend.
Okay. So now that, you know, because I don't have time to think about the question, yes. That's why I had to repeat it. I guess my organic ground rule is, you know, I'm a very handsome man.
Yes. Yes.
And I am really stunning and gorgeous. And a lot of women approach me.
Yes.
And ask me, you know, they don't see a ring on my finger. And they're just like, are you single? You know, I go, oh, I am, but I'm not playing on your team. What? I go, yeah, I'm gay. That's an organic thing that has started to happen. But I mean, I'm very flattered. And, you know, I'm joking when I say I'm not. But anyway, about handsome. The ladies do come on to me. And my rule is I want to be truthful. That's the whole thing. Just want to be truthful because I don't want to lead anybody on.
Yes.
And I don't want that. So
don't want them to buy you 4 drinks and find out you're gay.
No, I don't. I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't need it. But it is. I mean, that's one of my just, but it comes organically. It's not like, okay, I'm going to have to tell everybody that. It's just like, I want to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't want to bullshit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the disappointment for all these women, it's just astounding because they're not going to be able to go out with me. I feel sorry for them. But that was at the play. That was at the play I took my boys to. These two women came up. They go, are you single?
Dang, John. I thought, well, all right. Here, next question.
What?
Harper expressed a need to be seen as a woman. Do you have a need to be seen as gay?
Well, what is seen as gay? What
is a gay? Harper had a need that if, like at the restaurant, someone said, sir, or whatever, and she's like, it's ma'am, and made it very evident throughout the movie that she needs
to address
as women.
But that's a different, but that's
to be
different
seen as gay.
But that's different. That's a gender we're talking about.
Well, you know, I had an experience. I told you my networking thing where someone asked me a question and put me in a position where I had to tell a large group of people that I was gay. I didn't have to tell them, but I told them. Mm-hmm. And for me, I put yes. I want to be seen as a gay man because it helps me normalize it for other people.
I think that's good.
I want people to see me as a proud gay father, once married, out. But I do want people to see
that. No, that's a good question. I can't. I don't know how to answer that because I just want to first be seen as a human.
Yes. And well, you first want to be seen as an attractive, tall.
Well, I can't help that. I can't help that. That's already seen. No, but that's funny. But, you know, I mean, that's a very good question because it's interesting. I just want to be perceived as a loving human, as a loving being. And does the title have anything to do with it? Yes, it does, because I am a gay man and I'm proud and I love my community and I want to help support everyone. But it comes to the question of and this can be, you know, race. Oh, a black man, or, you know, who's great about this was, Shawshank Redemption. Who was the actor in that?
I'm not going to remember his name. Yes, that was a great movie.
Anyway, he has a beautiful voice.
Yes.
And he played, yeah. And, anyway, the actor, he's a black man.
Yes.
And he was in an interview. He goes, I don't want people to see me as a black man. I want them to see me as a man, as a human being first. And if I'm misquoting, I forgot his name, if I'm misquoting you, but I thought, wow, you know, that's huge. Freeman.
What's his name?
Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman. So Morgan Freeman is like, why do I have to be a black man? Why can't I just be a man?
So, you know, people say, I don't see color. I don't see this. I don't see it. This is off topic. But listen, you recognize if a person is a man or a woman. You recognize if a person is Asian. You recognize if a person is black. You recognize that you do see the color. It's you don't pass judgment on the person based on that.
Right.
But it's impossible to look at somebody and not see who they are. You're a 30-year-old African-American man. You're a 20-year-old Asian man. Mm-hmm. You're a 40-year-old white woman.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to see. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with that information.
Right.
So I don't see anything wrong with seeing somebody for who they are. It's what you
do. I don't have a problem of seeing anybody who they are. It's just how do you know? I mean, that's your question.
So I want to be seen as a gay man. Because I want to normalize it. I want people to see me and not have such a negative thought about the gay culture.
I'm with you on that. I'm fine with people seeing me as a gay man, but because we all want to be accepted, right? We all want to be accepted. And I don't know, that's a tough question. For me, it is. I don't know for anybody else.
All right.
You want to move on?
I'm going to move on to the next one.
Move on.
Kind of is along the lines of his sister. The sorrow others express for the pain they recognize in you and see the pain that you must have endured while you were in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
They see you. Have you experienced that with anyone? Has anybody kind of come to you and been like, wow, I feel so bad for you. I didn't know you were going through this.
Yes.
Were you tortured by this?
Yes. Yes. I had friends that did that. It was sweet. It was sweet. I'm so sorry. Yeah. They were like, my God, I'm so sorry you had to go through that or had to be closeted for so long or had to hide who you were. And they really showed some compassion. And then others, you know, I said, you know, came out, I don't care.
No.
They were like, I don't care. It was kind of like,
no.
It was like, and I think they meant a good thing of like, they didn't care, but it was kind of like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, was there any, do you have any empathy for me for coming? Which I was not looking for any empathy. It was sweet to hear it when people said that, but it was like, some people like, I don't care. And that was it. And maybe that was in their head. I'm not judging you. I just don't care.
Yes.
Kind of aggressively.
All right. I can see both sides of that. But, you know, for anybody struggling with their sexuality, that's good to hear, because the same with me.
Yeah.
When you come out, not only are people accepting of you, but there's compassion for you. There are people that recognize that you have been carrying something around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suffering, not suffering, you know, to what extent. Right. But there's a lot of love out there for us in that. The pain of recognizing who Harper was at a young age, but shamed into the closet. There was this, she talked about wearing her sister's bell-bottom pants and going skating.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to go skating the next weekend. And one of his friends at the time, because they were young teenagers, said, that was a lot of fun. Let's do it again next weekend, but leave the faggot pants at home. All right?
Right.
Do you feel that you were shamed into the closet at any point.
Of course. Of course. I mean, you know, I mean, that was part of the facade of the faggot pants. I mean, I would call people faggot and queer. I mean, I'm so embarrassed and ashamed that I'm admitting, you know, not admitting it, but that I did that, because that was conforming to the people that were around me,
yeah,
to protect myself and do that. Sure.
I totally agree. I was bullied. So the same for me. I feel like I was bullied into the closet. The joy of doing something for yourself that makes you feel alive and amazing, such as coming out. The gift of being you. What gift have you given to yourself since coming out? A gift of sort.
Freedom.
All right.
Freedom.
I put my Speedo. I buy in. I buy and wear Speedos. That's my gift to myself.
But that's a gift of freedom. Look,
yes.
I mean, sir, well, you know, it's so funny you say that, because yesterday I got back to my complex, and I love my complex because we got an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and I go swimming. And I have these new, they're the Speedo, but they're the square Speedo.
Yes.
The really
square trunk ones. Yes.
The square trunk one. And man, I put those on, and I used to feel a little bit self-conscious, but I didn't yesterday.
Good,
it felt great. I walked and my big old nuts were bulging out of them and everything. And I just felt empowered. I felt really good, and I got a good workout. And but I get what you're saying about, you know, but for this, your question, it was more for just freedom. And the weight lifted off my chest.
Do you experience a nervousness today still walking into a situation or environment as a gay man? And I'll give you my answer. I most recently shared with you that I went to my son's graduation, and that was because COVID and everything that happened, that I kind of drifted from a lot of the parents. I don't spend a lot of time with a lot of these other people. And so when I was going to my son's graduation, I was extremely nervous walking to that situation as my newly out gay self.
Yeah.
So have you experienced that?
I don't think so. I don't think I've gone to any events. I mean, I have, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, you go to the Rotary Club. Do you show up there in your Brooks shoes and your trunks and, you know, your whole thing and your little pride pin and the whole shebang?
Well, I don't wear my pride pin to Rotary. I've worn my pride shoes.
Okay.
You know, I got some great sneakers out of Pride. But that's a good question. You know, Rotary, you bring up a very good point, because I've come out to some in Rotary, but it's, and that was the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, is like, I was watching some TikTok and these other guys that have a podcast. They're like, we're always coming out. We're always going to be coming out to a point to people. He goes, that's what I feel like. I feel like I'm always coming out. And it's organic. Like, for me, it's starting to become organic. Like I've told you about, you know, some of the parents at the basketball and, you know, I've talked to them. So, it, you know, organically happens. But like for Rotary, no, I there's so much love there. I mean, there's so much just good people that are there. And some of them know it. Maybe some of them have talked about it and gossiped about it. Because honestly, people gossip. I mean, that's one thing. People talk about it. And look, again, for gay men that are married right now, and I've talked to you about this before, in my community, I was seen as a business owner, business leader that was married to a woman that had children, that was involved with the community and doing all that. And then, oh my God, this, I come out.
Yeah.
And how do I navigate that? Who, you know, what, how do I hold it back from other people, other agents that, you know, real estate agents, because we're both real estate agents. If you know anybody buying, selling, investing, contact us. We will help them out. But anyway, it was really difficult for me to manage that. And then finally, you know, it did. And then I saw other people in the community that, you know, or man and woman married, they know who I am. And they just show love. They just show love. And it's, you know.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. All right. There's so much hatred that follows being gay, as we've shared in prior episodes. Are you ever afraid of being gay?
You mean since I've been out?
Yeah, since you've been out. Because you've been out how many years? 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I've ever been afraid. I don't think I have. And that's a good question. I mean, I don't think. I mean, you know, I can be a badass. You know, I'm not going to let somebody walk over me. I take up for myself. I fight. I will fight for whatever I need. I will fight. And I think, you know, and I'm very passionate about this. And, you know, there's other gay people that can't fight or won't fight physically.
Yes.
And they get,
you will throw down.
I will fucking knock your ass out and fucking soup bone your ass because I'm a football player and I'm fucking tough. And I will not take that
really?
Shit. I will fucking throw down. Okay. I will throw down and I will protect any gay guy, gay woman, trans woman, whatever, motherfuckers, don't fuck with me.
So you're not afraid.
No.
I said I'm not afraid, but I sometimes am anxious. I have anxiety around it, but sure. I don't have fear. I don't have fear about being gay. What had been the barricades preventing you from coming out and being your true self? Barricades?
Well, of course. I mean, it's obvious, right? No, but it's obvious. I've had barricades because going back to when I was like, am I straight? Am I gay? I'm looking at men or whatever. That's a barricade. The barricade was being beaten by older people. Okay. I was a kid and I just suppressed it.
Is that why you're such a badass now? Because you walked around afraid that other guys were going to...
I was a badass in the beginning because I loved football.
You came out kicking and screaming. You were a badass.
I came out with pistols shooting out of my mom's vagina.
And boots and a hat.
Don't fuck with me! I was competitive and I was competitive in football and, you know, I'm telling you, you know, there's so many great people in this world. You know, my dad was gone and, one of my coaches that, you know, that saw me when I was in third, fourth grade, he goes, you're competitive. You should be, come play football. So I did, but we had no money. That coach bought all of my equipment. Come on, all my
equipment. Oh, you just didn't go around beating other kids up, stealing their equipment?
I did not. But he was the one, but I was gentle. I was a gentle giant. I was a gentle, and he would get up into my face and he goes, John, you should own this field. You should own this field. You own this. You're a badass. Go in there. And then after those talks, man, I was kicking everyone. I mean, I was good. I was good and I would hit and it was great. It was a good feeling. But I think that's where I got my, you know, I grew up poor, so I had to scrap and I had to fight. I had to fight, literally physically, but also fight mentally, you know, to become successful. So I've always, I've been a fighter, but there's part of a gentle giant, but there's that, I have that streak of, you know, not rage, but.
Well, don't cross John, man. My barricades were the judgment, shame, worry about how other people would feel about me. I think much of it is not about us. It's the projection we put on how other people are now going to view us. Other people are going to see us differently. Other people are going to treat us differently. Our family members aren't going to want to talk to us. Our kids aren't going to want to talk to us. So my barricades in coming out where I was afraid that the world was going to reject me. And so I held on at all costs to not coming out.
Right.
Because I thought I would be all alone.
Interesting.
Did you ever reach a point where you're hiding fear and lying caught up to you?
Yeah.
All right. I put no. I, you know, I got kicked to the curb, so I came out of.
No, I. We know my story.
All right.
So okay. That's yeah, yeah, and I'm not, you know, I'm not proud of that.
Hiding your pain and despair. Is this for you or for others?
Hiding pain and despair.
Is now, it? Harper held all of this pain and despair, and Harper was holding all of this for others, not for herself.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that, too. Okay. The joy of being seen as you by others.
The joy of being seen.
How is, and, you know, I wrote this down for you because you shared this, and you kind of lit up when you shared it. When you went to that dinner party, and I forget what your friend's name was, but when she gave you that pride pin...
Ah.
It really was the joy of somebody seeing you for you.
Yes, right? Yes.
You told that story on this podcast.
Yes.
It meant a lot to you.
Yeah, it did. It did.
And what's her name?
But that goes back to your question of, like, do you want people to see you as gay? And I just said, I want people to see me as a human.
Yeah.
But you just brought up a very good point of what I, you know, had shared with you. That makes me rethink that answer from the beginning. But it was so sweet. And it wasn't like in front of, you know, she just like, you know, reached over and gave me that. And it was not my friend. It was my friend's friend who I didn't even know her.
Okay.
I didn't know who this woman was. But she knew who I was in my struggle because my good friend told her.
Okay.
And so when I got there, woman I never knew. Said, hi, I'm nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Here you go. And I'm like, oh. And she just kind of gave me that wink of like, we're brothers and sisters.
The joy of being seen by others as you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Very
nice.
We have time for, what? How about one more? Well, I don't have one more, actually. I have the takeaway. The takeaway from watching Will and Harper, you are a lot less disposable than you think to those that love you when you come out. I felt disposable. I felt like people were going to reject me.
Oh,
so younger listeners listening, you are not disposable.
No, you're not.
You are so worthy. Mm-hmm. Not even young listeners. I don't even see that. Anybody. I don't care how old you are. Walking around feeling like you're going to be rejected and that you're disposable, because that's how Harper felt. Harper felt that, you know, he was going to come out as Harper and he was just going to be kicked to the curb. And that's not the case.
Well, that's what I felt. You know, I felt, you know, that was what I feared, was rejection from so many people. Yeah. And it was the complete opposite.
Yes.
It was the complete opposite. Yes. Not one so far has rejected
me. Yeah.
How about you?
Me too. I don't think I've had anybody reject me. But, you know, my circle after I came out got a lot smaller, but I made my circle smaller. I chose who I wanted to come out to, and I was very public about it. Mm-hmm. So pretty much everybody that knew me knew when I came out, because I did it in a Facebook post. This goes back to probably early 2021. I ended up taking it down after about 30 days. But for the most part, I had a bunch of people reach out to me. And then I had people that, you know, I just knew through telling other people. But I, at that point, I chose who I was going to continue talking to, who I was going to continue gravitating towards to, who I was going to continue spending my time with, because I felt like my time suddenly became a lot more valuable to me than it before I came out.
Right.
So,
and you know, this is so crazy. You know, we're on this earth for a very short time.
Yes.
We really are.
Yes.
It's just, you know, but it's so tough, you know, because I mean, again, you know, I'm 58 and one would think, or sometimes I think, oh, what would it have been like if I would have come out earlier? You know what? I'm glad I didn't come out earlier, because I wouldn't have my children.
Yeah.
And I think things happen to us for a reason.
Yeah.
And now I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying life. And look, we're here on a podcast. Yes. I mean, come on, right?
I know.
And yeah, I mean, all my friends back in Texas, you know, that's the whole thing about Facebook. I'm on Facebook, but you know, sometimes, you know, I'm getting all these feeds from gay fathers worldwide. Can everyone else see my feed that comes in on mine?
Only in the private page. So if you're posting on, like you posted that cake on Gay Fathers.
How did you like that? Did you see that?
That cake looked delicious.
It was my triple bypass chocolate cake. It was so good. Jackson turned 16.
Okay.
And I made that cake and oh my God, it's chocolate with chocolate pudding, chocolate chips, sour cream, eggs. I mix it all up. But the icing is confectionate sugar, butter, and chocolate chips.
Oh my God! It looked delicious.
Is it? Thank you.
But so if you post on Gay Fathers Worldwide,
yeah,
the thousand men,
the group will see it. Yeah,
but nobody outside of the group, because you're posting inside of a private
group. But we're getting back to, you know, finding out, like, I don't care if people find out, but there's a lot of people that don't know that I'm gay, that it's going to be interesting, you know.
As they find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's our time, John.
Listeners, you know, we love you.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and thank you for your emails and such. And, you know, just, you know, take care of each other. And we're here and hopefully we're bringing some, you know, comfort to you.
Yeah. And keep writing in, coming inside out at gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.